was just talking to Brother Harry, and I'd done mission trips before when I was in West Virginia, but nothing like Brother Harry had done. Well, I did. I was in Africa and a few other places around the Southern Hemisphere, but Brother Harry decided to take me to the Far East and learn the ropes. That man gave me knowledge of mission work that, well, you can't take a class. You can't take a college class with what that man give me on airplanes and in airports and on the ground in third world countries. So thank you, Brother Harry. Love you. And this church has just given us so much, and I thank you for it. You just keep praying because God is pouring his goodness out. And we're doing okay. We have our times, but most of the time God's holding us up and holding Debbie up. And, you know, she knows where she's heading and is thrilled to death about that. And I am too. And we'll miss her, yes. But God, she's in God's hands. And that's God to give us time together with our kids and our family. So praise the Lord for all that. I mean, he's just too good. So I've been, of course, all of us know the book of Romans. We read it, we witness with it, we use it as a tool for witnessing. And one of the strongest missionaries, I guess he is the strongest missionary in the Bible, is Paul. And he wrote this letter to Rome, he had some friends there that were saved, and a lot of people he didn't know there in a church at Rome that had been started by this time. This was during he was in Corinth, I believe, where he wrote the letter or a book or whatever you want to call it, the epistle to Rome. It was about 30 years after Christ's death. Near his death, that he didn't know, but he knew he was going to Rome one way or the other. He ends up going as a prisoner. Paul praised the Lord for his goodness through all the New Testament and all the books that he has written, and talks about even through all that Paul went through, the shipwrecks and the beatings and the jailings and all the whippings he took from Jews or whoever. But the bottom line was he just kept praising the Lord because he knew the truth of the gospel. I mean, he was special because he was Saul, but then he was Paul. And his conversion on the road to Damascus, he met God. And how did we meet God? I met him at 13 years old. And he became real to me. So we all have that time that we met with God and realized that we need to be saved. But Paul was on fire for the truth. He had seen the truth, which we have not seen him, but by faith we believe. And God counts that even special, more special than Paul meeting him, or the apostles during his life meeting him. He says the faith that we have to believe in the gospel and trust that word there for our salvation. So Paul in the book of Romans was writing to Rome, writing to his church there, his brethren there, but in the gospel, in the Roman gospel, it's broke down like a book, if you want to really look at it like a book. And you know, you can look at chapter 1, 1 through 17 is the prologue, just like in a book. And then you got the first section of it, the principles of Christianity and the problem with Christianity. Of course, he was dealing with problems of that day, which is not a lot different than today. The Jews had problems. The Gentiles had problems. And all those problems Paul dealt with, because he was dealing with a cross-section of mankind in Rome, even though he was a Roman citizen. And that protected him from some of the stuff that was going on in the world, because he was a Roman citizen. And he'd pull that card out every once in a while. And they would not, oh, this guy's from Rome, we better buy, you know, that kind of thing. So then we go from the problem with Christianity, from the principles of Christianity, to the laws of Christian love, and then the epilogue. So that's Romans in just a quick overview, if you want to look at it like a book that's laid out. So anyway, we're going to get started in this today, and you know, with the next months to come, how much I can do as time goes on. My children are there with Debbie today, and from Knoxville, and my children have been great. Lord, thank you for saved children and saved grandchildren. That right there, folks, is, if you have them, you know, it's more than money can buy or anything the world can give, is having a saved family. Praise the Lord for that. God's goodness has been poured out on me. So anyway, we're going to start looking at Romans, and we'll not get very far today, but one or two verses here is all we're going to do, because there's so much packed in this thing. If you really start looking at what Paul was saying and the details and the descriptions of things he uses, talks a lot about who he was, which transmit to who we are as Christians. So we'll start that. Let's pray, and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for your love, and Lord, we thank you for that grace of salvation. Lord, it's a gift. We do nothing to get it and do nothing to keep it. Lord, we love you and thank you for the gospel and the truth of it and the resurrection. And Lord, it is so real to us just from your word and the Holy Spirit dwelling richly in our lives. And Lord, we thank you so for what you've done for us. Now, Lord, give us understanding about Paul over the next weeks to come as we study Romans. It may take a while to get through Romans and look at it in detail. We read through these things sometime, Lord, and just pass up nuggets. Lord, we want to dig out some nuggets today. Give us understanding, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Okay, we're just going to go to chapter 1 and look at the first four verses as far as I'm going to get today, and I don't know that I'll get through all those. So Romans chapter 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That says so much right there, and we're going to back up here in a minute and get into that details, which he had promised before by the prophets of the Holy Scriptures concerning the Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. See, he's starting already dealing with the Jews, because we got Jews and Gentiles he's preaching to. Whole different crowd, different issues. And then verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the scriptures of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I mean, those verses right there, if you start really looking at them, and we can read past stuff like that. Of course, we all know, we all run to the Romans Road and do those things and run over in there and pick this and that, all sin and come short of the glory of God, and all those verses that we know and use as the Romans Road. We can run through them, and really, we've left out a lot around all that. So, and I'm guilty of that. Well, I read the Bible, and I can rush through there to just try to get it done. Say, I've read three chapters today. Well, I may have read them, but do I understand what I read? I'm not a great reader. I have to read things three or four times to really comprehend what God's trying to tell me. I think when we sit down to read God's word, I pray and ask God to give me godly knowledge. You know, to get the knowledge of God is a complicated thing, because God thinks on a different level than we do. But he wrote the word down, had it written down through the Holy Spirit's power on these men of old. And he gave them understanding of what to write down. So we know they're inspired by God. They're God breathed. So we as human beings, we just need to slow down and read the word and say, God, give me knowledge. Through the last 2 years of what Debbie and I have been going to, I asked God in the beginning of this. I said, I am not going to ask why. I want your knowledge. You give me understanding of what I need to know as we go through this. Anything in life that we go through. God, give me knowledge. I need to know your knowledge on this situation that I'm in. Whatever it is in life. When we all go through things in life. And we need to seek God's knowledge for that. Now let's back up and look at verse 1 there. Let's talk a little bit more about Paul's brief history, where he's at and what he's doing. Romans, we have the gospel according to Paul. There are more Old Testament quotations in this gospel, this Romans, some 70 quotations from the Old Testament books, more than any other book in the New Testament. Paul demonstrated the facts of the gospel message. It's the same today, tomorrow, and in the past. We can go back to Genesis, to Revelations, and the ribbon of blood and Jesus Christ is all the way through there if you look for it. Let God open your heart and your mind to see these things. And it becomes such a great blessing as we study, rightly divide the word. Take it into your heart, not just your head. There's an 18-inch separation here. You can have a lot of head knowledge, but if you don't get it in your heart, it's not doing you any good. As we say up in West Virginia, it ain't doing you no good. You got to get it from here to here. And with prayer and the Holy Spirit dwelling richly in our lives. We all have, if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Ask Him for the help. He's there to help. He's the comforter. He comes alongside. All those truths. We've got to get a hold of those things and apply it to our lives. So we see Paul here. He's struggling between Jews and Gentiles in this book, trying to describe the gospel that works across both beliefs. I mean, can you imagine being a Jew, being in the synagogue all your life, thinking that the promises of God that He gave Abraham, the father of the nation, and now all of a sudden this new gospel's being preached? I mean, what would you think if somebody came in here and said, well, there's a new way to get to heaven? We'd probably run him out here on a rail. So it was difficult with the Jews, those folks that were wearing the little hats, eating the right food. Don't do this on Sunday. Do this on Saturday. Don't do this and do that and do this. And they had the Ten Commandments, and they thought that law, if they tried to obey that law, they were righteous because of the law. So Paul was fighting all that in this chapter. Lays it out so plain that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that verse. So he says all. So the people reading this letter in Rome, can you imagine what they thought? What do you mean all? Well, he must be talking about the Gentiles. Well, we didn't think they could get saved, the Jews would say. Is it easy for us to say and drive downtown or somewhere and look at some of these folks? How will that person ever get saved? Look at them. I mean, we can sure be judgmental. But all can be saved because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we start thinking about that person or this person or see somebody on that don't look right to us, don't smell right, don't dress right. We can't be judgmental because Christ died for all mankind. I tell you what, in the last 2 or 3 months, I have really been touched by some of this. There's new people moving in the area down there where I live. Because Mr. Martin, that owned thousands and thousands of acres, he passed away a couple years ago. And they've been auctioning all that stuff off. Folks are leaving the city and coming to the country. They're done with these cities. I stopped by one of them yesterday. I said, I'm going to pull in here and talk to these folks. Well, and you know, I start talking and this and that and end up witnessing to them. Oh yeah, we're saved. Our daughter, she rides y'all's buses for years going to Vacation Bible School down there. We love that church. I said, well, where are y'all? Well, we live over here and we just went to a closer church. I said, well, right here you are beside us now. Let's go to Buffalo Ridge. Yeah, we was thinking about that the other day. And they're Katie and Shannon's age, so I told Katie and Shannon, I said, you need to go over there. They got a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old. So here we go. I mean, just opportunities like that, and God opens doors. If we believe what Paul is saying here, that this was, Romans is a huge witnessing tool. Huge, because we've used the Roman road and used other parts of it. And what do we tell people? You know, go read Romans and John, new Christians, and they can get it quick, the gospel. The Christian belief that there is, Paul painted a really black picture, but he was painting the picture on human sin. He wanted people to know, Jews and Gentiles alike, he wanted them to know that they were condemned before God without exception, without excuse. Your heritage is not going to save you. Your who you know is not going to save you. Your lineage is not going to save you. All this is preached in the Roman gospel. There is no excuse. There is nothing. You cannot escape. You're going to face God's wrath, is preached in this Romans. Then Paul turns to the question of salvation and shows that God forgave, and he does it so fully. You see, people can't fully, free, forgiven. You know, sin traces back to Adam. And that speaks to the Jewish crowd at this time. And all in Adam had to die, have to die now because of sin. That's one of the curses of sin that fell on to earth through Adam and Eve. So Paul preaches this gospel, but he paints a, first thing he does, he shows people how you're, in just the same way we're supposed to witness when we get to that point. God loves you, but my friend, you are a sinner. Now, I hate to tell you this, you're saved and you're sitting here in Buffalo Ridge, whether you know it or not. We are sinners, saved by grace. Not a thing we can do.
We can come to this church house till you're blue in the face. That ain't going to save you. You can say, I'm a Christian, and it ain't going to save you. Because most people, you say, well, what saves you? You know, and if they don't say the right thing, well, I've been going to church, I went down here, I'm good. No, we're not good. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. It's what God says. By grace you are saved. By grace I am saved. And Paul starts painting this picture to these people in Romans and giving details about it. Because the Jews and the Gentiles alike there in Rome needed to know the problem. Of course, he addresses the problem with Jews. Paul had a special sympathy for understanding the Jewish dilemma. Those folks were difficult. They were in a difficult position. Going to the synagogues, living right, doing right, trying to do right, and some of the Pharisees and Sadducees and all that political mess that was involved with the Roman government. I mean, I'm not sure that we don't have some of that going on today. Because you look at some of those people in leadership in Washington today, well, I'm saved. Well, then how in the world are you going to vote for abortion? I mean, how could you do that and be a Christian and really know what you are? So this word Christian has become so blurred in our society, you really have to ask people, well, what do you believe in? Why do you get the privilege to call yourself a Christian? You know, and you start really questioning people, well, this, well, that. Well, have you asked Christ into your heart? Well, I'm good. I went to go to church. No, you need to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and trust that to get you to heaven alone. There is no other path. There is no other door. And people don't like to hear that because, well, that's, you know, you're not preaching love, everybody. And, well, all loving everybody ain't going to get everybody to heaven. The only thing today it's going to get today, yesterday, and back at this time is what Christ did on the cross. And that's what he was dealing with. He was dealing with the Jews here that just could not get that through their heads. And I understand that. I understand that. Do they understand it? Do the Jews understand it today? No, they still got that crowd of Jews that don't. That's why we got missionaries working on Jews. Yes, they've got a wonderful lineage. And yes, they could be tied back to David and Adam and all that stuff. But they need to know the gospel. Paul dealt with the effects of the gospel on these people. The effects of the gospel for the promises of God that was made to the nation of Israel. They deal with all that. Jewish folks deal with a lot. Because they think they're holy. And most of the time they are good, decent people. God's blessed the Jewish nation. The intelligence that they gave this country during the World War II through Einstein and others was God given to them people. And everybody thinks, oh, they're good business people. Well, how can they be good business people? God gave them that ability and other many, many other abilities. They're good folks. God's Christian gospel does not cancel. He hasn't canceled the promise. God's promises are promises. And they are the nation. They are his chosen people. Although it seems in today's world and then in these people's world, they didn't understand it. But God didn't stop all his promises. He just kind of postponed it because God has not changed his mind, but because of Israel refused to believe. Now, we talked about this months ago when we were talking about the beginning of the revelation, beginning of the 7-year tribulation period is basically God coming back, Paul preaching, teaching, God's coming back. They thought, some of them thought he was coming back then to save them from the Roman Empire. But he's coming back to them. And he's going to deal with the world harshly because the Jews still today refuse to believe that Christ was the Christ and he was the way to heaven. So Paul's dealing with that. And at the same time, he's got to deal with the Gentiles that the Jews said, you keep them Gentiles down there way downtown away from our synagogue. They didn't want nothing to do with the Jewish nation. Of course, we know God, by this time, this was in during Paul was writing this letter during his third missionary journey. And he started more churches before his death. The gospel was established across the Roman, the western part of the Roman Empire, from Spain to Rome, all the way plumb through the Promised Land, plumb down to Egypt, plumb over to India, and on and on. And later on, we know that some of the Roman soldiers that got saved in Rome from probably some of these letters, they were ordered to go to England, and the gospel got to England and all over the world. God, it's amazing to look how God used sinful people, a sinful empire, to spread the gospel. God, let me tell you, God can do anything he wants to do. He can spread the gospel even with some old boys that don't know enough to know, as they say up in West Virginia. Some of them old boys didn't know enough to know. They were just soldiers. But they got saved. They seen Paul down in the pit singing songs. They heard about the story when the earthquake shook and all the prisoners was loose, and they said, we're still down here. Don't harm yourself. That stuff was passed. I was in the Navy. You could start some rumor, and it'd be all over the ship, wouldn't it, Harold? And I mean, soldiers talk. So the gospel spread around the known world at that time. And Paul, in this letter, used that. He talked about the gift of God and how it changes our lives to be generous and forgiveness and kind and honest and considerate and impartial. Boy, how we need that today. So people just walk around with a chip on their shoulders. They don't know how to be kind. They don't know how to be impartial. They don't know they let all this media and Black Lives Matters bless their hearts, as Mama would say. I am colorblind. Always have been. I don't pay no attention. Some of my best friends back in West Virginia were good Black folks. Why is the world driving a wedge? The politics of this country has gotten so bad. Them two girls sitting on the back row, I love you because of Christ, and he loves you, and you know it. And you are some special people. Folks, we ought to be colorblind in today's world. All Paul says, all people have come short of the glory of God. So, we're going on here. So he starts telling them, you can obey the law of the land. You can honor your politicians. You can pay your taxes. But first of all, put God on top. And people didn't understand it. How can I don't understand that. I mean, you can see the confusion that the devil throwed in this thing. Even today, it's difficult for us as conservatives to understand what some of these politicians are doing, but they're government officials and we need to honor them, God says. Now, it comes to a point, just like the abortion issue. I'm sorry, I can't agree with that. I will not agree with that. It's murder. We have to stand up for what's right. When the time comes, we have to stand up for what's right. In God's eyes, in our eyes, what the Holy Spirit tells us is the truth. To hold fast to the truth, Paul was wanting them. He was saying, give interest to world evangelism. Hold up God's servants in prayer. All this was being talked about in Romans. Think about the missionaries, he was saying. Hold up God's promises. Hold on to God's promises. Pray for God's servants. He said, pray for me. Pray for our pastor and his wife and his family and all these people that stand up here that work and lead us and preach the gospel and teach the gospel. Pray for them. That's what Paul was saying. That's what he says in Rome. He's teaching these people how to be Christians. So let's get down when Paul wrote this letter, it was, I need to do like the pastor. He goes like this. But I guess he's more polite than I am. He's from up northern West Virginia. I'm from down the coal fields. But I love him. He's almost getting across that Mason-Dixon line up in that area there. He's real close to it. But anyway, I'll stop on that. I've got a joke I want to do someday, but he needs to be sitting here because I want him to hear it. But anyway, when Paul wrote this letter, he had never been to Rome. He had never seen some of these church members. Some of these people were totally strangers that he was writing this letter to. So his introduction, it was like an introduction of what he believed and who he was in this first part of the book. A glimpse of the major theme of the letter was the gospel. So he starts talking about that. So let's look back at that first verse. Paul announces a theme in this very first verse. So it says, Paul, a servant. I've got little runny nose. This goldenrod's about to get to me. It's a big time balloon. Paul says, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So here we are, looking at this verse. The gospel arrests men for God. Have you ever been arrested? It's like they pull you over and you're scared to death and they ask for your license. Am I going to get arrested? And they write you a little piece of paper and says, don't do that again or you'll get a ticket. Arrested for God. Pastor Lashley was arrested for God. Brother Harry was arrested for God. And served their lives serving God, preaching the gospel to people that need to be saved. That's how Paul considered himself. He was arrested. Of course, we know that God gave him a special understanding. Paul was going around persecuting Christians, and then God was, in his timing, was ready, said, no, buddy, you're going to work for me, basically. He had a great understanding of the doctrine of the Jewish religion, high up in that. He was a Roman citizen. God knows what He's doing when He picks people out. He will arrest us. He arrested me one day. They come and ask me to teach Sunday school 30, 40 years ago, and I was scared to death. I never done that. Well, you'll be all right. Trust the Lord, read the Word, and start teaching. So God arrests us. What does He want to arrest you for? Paul says there, he describes himself in that first word. He says, I'm a servant. Well, that word also means a bond slave in that day there. Those people understood what that meant. Because a lot of them that read this letter were slaves. And not only were they slaves, they were slaves for life because they loved their master, and they would bore their ear as a symbol that I'm no longer being held here. I volunteer to work for this man or woman or whoever they worked for. Is our ears bored for the Lord? Are we bond slaves? Paul had in mind the old Hebrew servants of long ago. And these people understood all that. The Hebrews understood this. The Gentiles that were in bondage understood it. And they learned to love their master. And they got their ear bored. He was saying, we need to learn to love God just like a bond slave that has give in to their master and had their ear bored and said, I'll serve him from now on and it don't cost you a penny. He was explaining to these guys, I love my master. I love God. Nobody was concerned about freedom more than Paul. Paul wanted people to be free from the curse of sin. Because all were sinners, includes us today. So he wanted them to have that knowledge that they were free. Even though Paul enjoyed a rare prized privilege of being a Roman citizen, yet counted it as his highest honor to be a bond slave for Jesus Christ. We can't never think, boys, that we're too good to do something for God. There's always some little something we can do. We may think we're too old, but we can fix a fire pot. We can bring a bowl of chili. We can make some fried taters. We can send out cards. We can pray. Well, there's a bunch we can do. Don't ever think you can't do because of the love of Christ constrains you. It arrests you. And if you let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, you're going to want to do something for God. Paul was so he was so sold out, he considered himself a bond slave. And all the readers of this gospel were so understanding of what that's about, because a lot of them were slaves. And then the next word in that says he was apostle. Said called to be an apostle. Well, what's that mean? One who is sent. In today's world, we believe and understand one that is sent is a missionary. Isn't that good? I got my English prayer socks on today. Let me see if y'all can see them. I'm not celebrating the Queen's death. I'm wearing that because I have a son preaching there right now. And it reminds me to pray for him. Every time I see these socks in my drawer or put them on, I'm thinking about and praying. That's putting prayers on your feet. Paul wants us to pray like that. Pick out a missionary and pray for him. Paul was a type of missionary that traveled around that part of the world. It means he was an apostle. Paul became the greatest pioneer, the foremost spokesman for the church of that time. When he died some 30 years after Christ, there was churches all over the Western Roman Empire because of his effort. I was talking to Levi this week. That ministry in England is busting at the seams. A year ago, he had about 10 or 12 teens. And now he's got all these new families and he's got 30 teenagers. Teen functions. It's growing. They're wanting a church in Finland so bad, those people say, here's the building, come send somebody. And Crown sent a couple volunteered this past week to go. They're not volunteered. They said they were arrested by God to go to England and start one of those churches. Thank you for the prayers for Levi, because I'm telling you, every time I pick the phone up and talk to him, oh, this is going on, this many people got saved, we're starting a church down here, we got two more buildings, and all we need is preachers. Pray for that. I just think about him a lot when studying what Paul has done here. So, service for God is a special thing. And now, is it easy? No, my. Paul had to make tents to survive sometime, to have enough money to buy food. Paul was thrown in prison and all that happened to him, but he just kept on going on. And this church is gracious to give Levi some money to buy a new van, and they're searching and trying to buy the best deal and all that kind of thing. It's hard. And on on the mission field, folks. With Brother Harry, we've been there in third world countries. It's so, so difficult. In India, it's difficult. You've got to have all your paperwork together. You've got to have everything just right. It's difficult. Pray for our missionaries. It's just like Paul had difficult times. Our missionaries today have those days. When Paul was not going to give up, he wasn't going to go home, and we need missionaries like that. When Cortez landed in Mexico, you know, we're not to burn no bridges with anybody, anywhere. When Cortez landed in Mexico, he burnt the ship so the men couldn't leave. Burnt their ships. I mean, I don't really want to burn my ship, but I ain't going back. I'm staying right. I'm going to teach Sunday school till I fall over up here. Now I've got other things going on that I can't be here every week, but praise the Lord, His goodness has been poured out on me. We need to quit. Let me do that last word, separated, in that verse, first verse. He got the Greek word separated. It means looking at a new horizon. He's separated under God. He's looking up. Lord, let's keep looking up. Every day, folks, just look up and know that Christ can appear in that sky in any minute. Know that God's there holding our hand through the hard times. Just keep looking up. New horizons. Separated unto God. Praising His name. Thanking Him for His goodness. I love Jesus. That's the bottom line. I'm going to stop right there. Thank you all for listening to me. You're at alone. I love you guys. Y'all have a great day, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word and the power of it unto salvation. God, we pray for services today. Pray that the preacher preaches the word that will touch hearts and change minds and save salvation. Come into somebody's heart. Lord, we love you so. And thank you for this great church and the great friends. And God, most of all, we thank you for your salvation. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you.